Welcome to the Bible Unbound podcast, Ancient Mysteries of the Scriptures Explored. I'm Jim, your host. We're going to work our way again through introductory considerations to the book of Revelation. By way of explanation, introductory considerations are absolutely crucial if you're going to be able to understand the detailed content of the book. So before we actually enter into a verse-by-verse narrative and exposition of the scriptures themselves, we're taking these 4, 5, 6 weeks to understand, by way of introductory concepts, what basically is the organizing principle, or how are we actually to use, or what tools should we use in terms of interpreting this very difficult book? I began to lay out for you last time the 7 parallel sections. These are identified by many biblical scholars, from William Hendrickson, G.K. Beale. They seem to detect that the book organizes itself, or has these natural built-in organizing signposts that help us to interpret the entirety of the book of Revelation. Well, today I want to bring forth 3 more arguments for using parallelism as the organizing principle of the book of Revelation. So these 3 points of support would be, number 1, the numerological time periods, that is, the use of numbers in describing the time periods associated with the book of Revelation. Secondly, what I call cosmic geography, and you'll understand what I mean when we get to that point. And then thirdly, globalism as a rebellion. So numerology, cosmic geography, and globalism. Let's start then with the numerological time periods as referenced within the book. So different sections ascribe the same duration to the period being described. The same time period is described in different sections, and so we assume that these sections must be synchronous because they are described by means of the same terminology or the same numerology. And what I mean is, for example, the third cycle, which is chapters 8 through 11, which is the 7 trumpets. They're described as being of 42 months, chapter 11, verse 2, or of 1,260 days, chapter 11, verse 3. But then the next cycle, which is chapters 12 through 14, again describes the section as 1,260 days, chapter 12, verse 6, or a time and times and half a time, which is 3.5 years, or 1,260 days, or 42 months. They're all synonymous. They're all synchronous to each other. So this is an important numerological touch point that is used in Revelation. And interestingly, it was also used in the book of Daniel, specifically Daniel 7, Daniel chapter 9, and Daniel chapter 12. So John takes up these same numerological distinctions or designations, which are 42 months, 1,260 days, time and times and half a time, and he brings them as exact equivalents to one another. So the section, for example, as we pointed out on the trumpets, chapters 8 through 11, must run parallel with that which is described in the battle against Christ and the dragon, chapters 12 through 14. And again, chapter 20, also described as a time that is synchronous with chapter 12, because in both chapters, you have indications that something very strategic happened in the timeline of the Prince of Darkness exercising his power. So that timeline is designated by Satan being cast down or cast out. Both chapter 12 and chapter 20 use the same Greek verb balo. Satan is cast down or cast out. Satan's influence basically is restricted. That's why Jesus would say things like, I saw Satan fall down from heaven like lightning. So, would these sections be parallel? It sure seems like it based on the numerological distinctions. Well, in the second place, we have what we call cosmic geography. And now notice again the chapters 8 through 11, which again is the seven trumpets. It seems parallel with that of the bowls of wrath, chapters 15 and 16. Notice that the first trumpet, which is seen in chapter 8, verse 7, affects the earth. That's cosmic geography, the earth. So does the first bowl of wrath, chapter 16, verse 2. It affects the earth. Similarly, the second trumpet affects the sea. Well, so does the second bowl. And then the third trumpet refers to the rivers. Likewise does the third bowl. The fourth, in both cases, refers to the sun. The fifth refers to the pit or the abyss or the throne of the beast. The sixth, both of them to the Euphrates. And the seventh, to the second coming in judgment. So again, another argument in support of the built-in organizing principle of parallelism. We find the exact same thing in the prophecies of Daniel, which has been called the apocalypse of the Old Testament. So the parts of Nebuchadnezzar's dream found in chapter 2, there are four images of different composite materials which represent four kingdoms. Well, guess what? This corresponds exactly with the four beasts of Daniel's dream found in chapter 7. So Daniel employs the same parallelistic, cyclical set of visions. In one case, it was Nebuchadnezzar's dream. In the other case, in chapter 7 of Daniel, it's Daniel's direct vision, which he had from God himself. So the numerology of the book of Revelations seems to support the organizing principle of parallelism. Thirdly, we see the concept of globalism as rebellion against God. Now, globalism has as its roots the Tower of Babel story, indicated for us in Genesis chapter 11. So globalism is, according to that pattern, an effort of humanity to unify against a common enemy, and that common enemy would be God or God and his people. So in Revelation, it's found in the language of gathering together, gathered together. That's the language of global concerted assault upon Christ and his church. Now, this is found in three different, and that's why we consider them to be parallel, three different of the sections that describe this same idea of gathering together. Here they are, Revelation 16 and verse 14. For they are demonic spirits performing signs who go abroad to assemble them for battle on the great day of God the Almighty. So there's the language of gathering together in battle against God, just like the Tower of Babel experience. But we have the same thing in the next section, the next cycle. Revelation chapter 19, verse 19, and I saw the beast and the kings of the earth with their armies gathered to make war against him who was sitting on the horse and against his enemy. And we see it again in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 8. And Satan will come out to deceive the nations that are at the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to, here it is, gather them for battle. Their number is like the sand of the sea. So we would ask the question, are there three end times battles using the same language of global concerted war against Christ and the saints? Or do we have parallel accounts? So in closing this morning, what do we learn from the fact that the book of Revelation is seen in these seven parallel accounts? Well, we learn that the theme of the book is simple and clear. We look to Scripture itself to establish and determine how it is to be interpreted. We don't impose a system from the outside to get our understanding of how we're to interpret the book. We just look at the book itself. And again, our jumping off point were the first five words of the book of Revelation, which is the revelation of Jesus Christ. You get these first five words of the book right, and you get the whole book right. What you're looking for again and again in these parallel sections or these parallel narratives that are being described is the revelation of Jesus Christ, the single most vital concept to life and eternity. As Peter was told by Jesus, flesh and blood is not revealed this unto you, but my Father who is in heaven. Guess what word is used? It's the word apocalypse, same as the title of this book. So God revealed something to Peter that Jesus was the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Paul in Galatians, he says, when it pleased God to reveal his Son in me, and the word used there, same thing, apocalypse. Paul prays for the Ephesians that they would be given the spirit of wisdom and, guess what, apocalypse, into the fuller knowledge, revelation. So what do we expect to be revealed as we work our way through this book? We expect that the theme will be revealed, and the theme of the book, victory of Christ and his bride over the powers of darkness, and a corresponding theme, which is things are not as they seem. So this then is the fountainhead of comfort for the church when she faces incredible days of opposition. And we do sense in our day that the church is plunging into another one of those seasons of opposition as the moral darkness and the global elitist efforts to suppress light and truth seem to be growing at a breakneck pace. We will need this comfort of the book of Revelation. So I want to invite you to join us as weekly we dive into the book and seek that great comfort that comes from knowing the revelation of Jesus Christ, the triumph of the bride and the groom together, ultimately to meet in the marriage supper of the Lamb, and then all together to join in praise at the declaration of the new heavens and the new earth. Thank you for joining with me today. You have a blessed day in Christ. Bye-bye.